We're going to share a number of items tonight, and we've got half a dozen people here. No, we haven't got five people because one can't make it. We've got five people here who've been guided by God to be involved in various initiatives that are going on in and through the church, and they're just going to share with us later on. But everything that we are sharing tonight is all part of what Jesus is doing among us. And, you know, we must never forget that wonderful privilege we have of being caught up in the eternal plans and purposes of God. And the first thing I want to share with you is born out of how we handle the continuing growth among us, as particularly as we gather here on a Sunday morning. One of the things you will have noticed is, as well as the, you know, many adults, we have an increasing number of children. And I think, well, yes, exactly. Thank you. And I think the number has increased by two over the last, is it the week or? Yeah, it's just this week. Doesn't time fly? So, you know, we are growing considerably, and it's how we balance the needs of people with young families, how we balance the needs of those of us whose family are no longer young. We remain young. It's just the kids that get older. We don't get any older. So we're looking at all of this and how we press on and how we can make this work for us as a community. And one of the things that we've been looking at with Pete and some of the things he's been feeding back to us from some of the children's workers is how we might restructure our Sunday morning meeting. And this is not a radical change. It's a bit of a sort of, in a sense, tweaking what we already do, but it could have profound significance for us as we move forward from where we are to where God wants us to be. Now, if you were here last Sunday, that actually offers us, we didn't realize this at the time, but it offers us a very good model for how we're going to progress with our Sunday morning meetings during the month of February, right? So February is going to be a little bit of a sort of experimental time. What we found here last Sunday is we had 20, 25 minutes of praise, where everyone was engaged in this. We had the whole families, because all the children are in, and we're getting something like 80 children actually attending here on a Sunday morning. And after that 20, 25 minutes, we had the notices, and then the children went out for their meetings, but were brought back in for the breaking of bread. Now, what we're going to do during the month of February is we're going to have that shorter time of praise at the beginning of our gathering, so say 20, 25 minutes. Then, because you can't have a meeting without notices, it is the 11th commandment, as we all know, the children will then be released by 11, and that was going to give us an hour to hear the word, to respond to the word, to continue in worship, whatever it is that God has laid upon our hearts for that particular Sunday. And the children will then be collected at noon. Now, at the moment, I think the children are collected around about 12:15. So that is the plan. That is the plan. But what we're going to do during February, we're going to encourage parents to go and collect their children at noon, because the children workers will have had them for an hour by that point. And then we will be breaking for our refreshments and so on. So it's just a little bit of a tweaking. So we're going to have that 20, 25 minutes at the beginning of the meeting where we're all together, notices, offering, and then that gives us an hour in order to see what God wants to do during that time. We're going to just to do that during February, and then we're asking people to give us feedback as to, you know, how you responded to that, how you felt it good. And then we're going to have to balance up what is said and see how we proceed from that point. So every Sunday in February, we are going to follow that format. And the reason is to try to meet the competing needs of the different sections within the church community. And we do give thanks to God for those sections, you know, to see how the children's work has blossomed over the last few years, to see how God is adding new families to us month by month. There is rarely a week goes by without a new family arriving. And so if we can just help to make that a really good, positive experience, then I think that will just lead us into further growth, and then we've got to see how we deal with that. So that's what we're doing in February. Now, if you've got your diaries, please, will you open them to June? Or if you've got a bit of paper or your electronic hardware. I'm still not used to the idea that people have got Bibles on their phones and iPads and things. I still suspect that you're sending text messages. Now, I know you wouldn't do that while I preach, but I'm sure you're tempted when others preach. Yes, you're busy on the phone, yes. And if you want a means of sort of not having that temptation, I can offer you my telephone. This one is thief-proof. If anyone stole this, they would bring it out. They would bring it back out of sheer pity and give me a new one. Now, turn to the end of June, the 21st and 22nd of June. Hopefully, that should be a Thursday and Friday. Amazing. Now, on those two evenings, we've got Mark DuPont with us, right? And on the 23rd, the Saturday, we will have him here from 10 till 3. Okay, so there's the two evenings plus 10 till 3 on the Saturday when we will be following through a particular course that Mark runs, and we're going to share more about that as we get there. But would you really please put that as a priority within your diaries? We were greatly blessed by Mark's ministry last year. And what we're looking to do is to build upon that. This will be thrown open to people from all churches, all sorts of backgrounds, so feel free to invite as many. We are going to have some publicity available. And we just want to really celebrate and enjoy and receive what God has to share with us through Mark, who was with us those two evenings, and the Saturday. So get them in your diary now, and we look forward to an incredible time of blessing from the ministry of this man. Now, Ian's is going to come and share with us regarding another initiative, which is to do with our midweek monthly church meetings. Oh, look what he's got. Look what he's got.
Doing that subtly. You know,
I've got this.
I can switch it.
You can't even know where the switch is. What am I? Now, I wouldn't, of course, tell you who's been playing Angry Birds on this. We are very privileged, the church, to have contact with lots of other ministries and lots of other people around the world and around in this nation as well. And we really benefit from that, and we value that. We value the input that people bring into this church over the years. About summertime last year, I approached Jeremy Simpkins to invite him to come and speak to the church. And he said, I can't possibly come on a Sunday for the next 18 months. And he's booked up, and he's probably now booked up 18 months, two years in advance. Obviously, as a pastor of a local church, he's got a limited number of Sundays he can get out, so he has to limit where he goes and what he was involved with. So because of that, we hit upon the idea of actually inviting him along to a midweek meeting, because midweeks are much freer for some of these people. And if you remember, last November he came, and we had a fantastic evening with Jeremy Simpkins. I'm sure you remember that. And this gave us a model perhaps we could continue this year through as well. Rather than trying to get people in on Sundays where they're really busy, but inviting them along on a midweek meeting. And so this year we're going to extend that a bit more and invite more people along to serve us here. And not every monthly meeting that we have will be these special ones with VIPs coming along. We're going to have times where it's like us now, just kind of talking together as a church together. But we can have VIPs invited other times as well. At about the same time, I'm having a conversation with a friend of mine, Alan Rossi, who is an elder in the church in Cockermouth. And he told me about their church meetings, which they get people together for vision, impartation, and prayer. Doesn't that sound grand? I say vision, impartation, and prayer. And as they are calling the church together, they feel it's very important for those people to be in there at the time. And they call these events, which I think you preempted me, VIP evenings. Now, I'm not one to pass up a free idea from somebody. So that kind of thing lodged in my mind. And we really thought, why don't we put the two together? As well as you coming along as very important people for vision, impartation and prayer, why don't we invite a VIP along to these events to speak to us as well? So in the last few months, I've been sending out invites to various people from around the church, from outside the church, to come in and speak to us during this year to these Wednesday night VIP meetings, really to bring their gifting to us so that we can benefit from the body of Christ to be built up and matured. The list of speakers is almost finalised for this coming year. Some are from within New Frontiers. Some are from outside New Frontiers. Some are from the UK. Some are from overseas. And I feel we're in such a fortunate position to be influenced, be shaped, be blessed by these people coming in and this sort of opportunity. So just to give you an idea of the people so far I've got lined up, from the northeast region of New Frontiers Churches, we have Ian Galloway, a very old friend of ours. He leads a church in Newcastle and has done for many years. We have Paul Woodward, who may be a new name to you, but he is currently the senior elder at the Teesside Church. He came up from a church in Bedford a few years ago. From the north region, we have Jeremy Simpkins, lined up, I think, for summertime. And we're also very pleased to have Ginny Bergin come up with us. She was here with Mark DuPont, if you remember, last summer. So excited about her coming up. And we also have three international speakers lined up. That's David Campbell from Canada, Finney Phillips from India, and Mark DuPont from the US. So that's our current lineup for some VIPs that we've got invited to come and to share what God's put on their hearts for us, to share the giftings they have to encourage us and to mature us. And I believe it's going to be a great way for us as a church to receive from God and receive what they have got to bring to us. So next month, the first VIP meeting, we actually have David Campbell coming up for that. He's also doing the student weekend away following that. So what's the week after that? All right, okay. The other people who are travelling from around the world are also coming. So these notices are going up kind of Sunday morning, just to kind of tell you who's coming up. I'll probably get something out in e-news as well, just give you those dates in advance. Most of the dates are Wednesday evenings. There's a couple we've had a change, just like a Tuesday or a Thursday, just to kind of help people. But that's the plan for our VIP evenings. So it's the third Wednesday of the month, every time them coming along. Thank you.
Now, we've heard a lot over recent months about looking outwards, becoming more outward-looking church, mission groups, and so on. And it may surprise you to know that even now, we have over 20 different mission or outward-focused groups, covering all sorts of different aspects of life out there in the community. Over 20. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to hear from five of those groups, and these groups are not necessarily have been born out of a manual, but a manual people are involved in each and every one of them, and they're all groups where it's seeking to impart and communicate the love of God in Christ in various ways. And you'll see as we look through this, there's an incredible variety, if you like, in terms of how we can outreach. Now, this is only at least a quarter of what other people are involved in. And so I'm going to begin by asking Rachel. Where's Rachel? I promised Rachel she could do this first, so she could then sit down and relax. And basically, now Rachel, if you come and tell us what you're involved in, some of your experiences, what your life vision is, what you hope to be doing by the time you're my age, and whether you're in faith for a good pension.
Hello. I'm Rachel. I study at Durham University, and I'm here to talk about streetlights. Okay, I guess most of you have heard of it by now, but if you haven't, we go out on a Friday and Saturday night into Durham city centre and help people get home. If they're too drunk, just stay with them for a bit and just really help people on the streets. It's been going for about 2 years, or almost 2 years, and I've been involved almost since the beginning. And it's been really nice to see it grow. One of the most exciting things is it's volunteers from all the churches in Durham, like literally all, pretty much all of them. But you don't have to be a Christian to get involved. There's also some people that aren't. But it's just really encouraging to see Durham churches united and to meet people from other churches when we're out there. And what also really strikes me is how grateful people are when you go out. They're always like, wow, you do this. They always ask you if you get paid, and obviously we don't. It's a voluntary thing. And then they're like, well, why do you come and help me? You know, why do you come and help drunk people? It's always really, really touching because they're always, always very grateful. It's amazing. To kind of give you a feel for what we do, we'll go out, walk around where most of the clubs are, just see what's going on. Jobs involved, like picking up broken glass, sitting with people waiting for ambulances, calling ambulances, helping people when they're being sick all over the place, getting people into taxis, keeping people warm, helping them sober up, help them find their friends. It can be really small things. Like, you don't need to be like qualified in anything. You just need to like want to help people, and it's just a really practical way to show God's love on the street. I'll give you an example. There was two people that came out of a bar, and they'd just gone to the toilet, and then but left all their keys and phone and everything with their friends and shoes, and then they came out and all their friends had gone. I don't think it was on purpose. They just walked off, and it's in that situation where you're like, well, what on earth do we do? You know, they can't ring their friends to get them. They can't go in a taxi because they've not got any money. They've not got any shoes. And it was just, there are those moments where you just have to listen to God and just really see where it goes. In the end, you know, it was amazing. We managed to persuade a taxi to take them if he was going to get paid at the end. And that was just because we literally wouldn't have been able to do anything if we hadn't have got them in a taxi. And if you want to get involved with streetlights, talk to me, talk to Brian and Greg at the back, or Howard as well, because he organises it all. And I think that's about it.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you. Excellent. Incredible. And those people she's talking about are all church members. When she gets into working with the rest, it's incredible what she does. Now, Mr. Hill, would you care to come and share with us what you're involved in? I'm not even going to tell them what it's called, because you can do that.
Gob Off Thursday. It's not my name for it, it's James's name. We are involved in something at Sanctuary 21. It all sort of focuses, a lot of things tonight I think probably will focus to a degree geographically on Sanctuary 21, which is great because it's a nice town centre location, and it means that you're in people's faces quite a lot, which obviously is good. What I do is, I've made some notes on a phone, so I look like I know what I'm doing. I cook bacon or sausages. I serve them to people. I sit in comfy chairs and chat to people about what's going on in their lives. The people involved are, there are a few who are properly homeless. Most of them are sort of on the edge of it and drifting in and out. A couple of people who have recently got houses and are then struggling to work out what you do when you've got a house and can you have the heating on and how are you going to deal with that sort of thing. For me, I find it possible to believe that these are the sort of people who Jesus would have sought out. I don't know if you remember James talked about somebody called Ian, who died on the riverbank before Christmas. I met somebody called Richard for the first time sometime before Christmas, probably 6-8 weeks after that happened. And the first conversation I had with him was, yeah, I got that story. I found my mate, and he was not very well, and I went with him to the hospital, and he died. And you know, so it's not as if you've got to kind of draw things out of people, which you get their life story pretty much often as soon as you meet them. But people are varied. There are some who are maybe not quite so open and who are more suspicious. And you know, that's fair enough as well. But you get a sense of openness. Most of them know what their problems are. Almost invariably, their problems revolve around a substance, whether it's powder or whether it's liquid. But you know, generally, there is that sort of problem. You don't get involved in interminable small talk about schools and houses and where you're going on holiday, because you know it's not an issue for them. You get to talk about their lives and you know, kind of real lives. Why do I do it? Well, we're all of infinite value to God. So these are people who I would normally have walked past a little distance away and kind of thought, harumph, you know, what are these people doing? So that's been great for me because it's changed my attitude to them. It's something which involves a number of different churches. I mean, certainly we're working with the Sally Army. So again, that must be a good thing. Churches in Durham working together, like Rachel was talking about, and it blesses them as well. You know, it's showing love to a bunch of people who otherwise wouldn't really get that.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. And again, you know, if you need further information or want to get involved, just see Steve, and Steve will sort of you out and put you into the right hands. Now, we've been involved with. Budgeting, money advice for a number of years now. At the moment, we are with the, what's it called, Eddie? CMA, Community Money Advice. We used to be with CAP, which was a Christian poverty. As the brain's going, you know, the brain's going. But now we've moved on. Isla and her team are looking after and helping many, many people, and Eddie is part of that team. So Eddie's going to come and share. And where Eddie goes, Elizabeth follows. So when Eddie shared, his sidekick is going to come and share.
Ed, hello. When Alan asked me to speak on this, I thought, after the initial panic, well, what do I say? And so I thought on it a little bit, and I thought, well, I think I'll tell them how, first of all, I came to be involved with this, and then why I'm involved with this. So it starts with a sermon by Alan, going back several months, where he talked about servanthood. And I felt after he spoke on that, that I needed to do something. I really wanted to do something. So I thought I'll have a word with Alan, because he'll know what I can do. Well, he didn't. He sent me on my way with a few kind words, a pat on the head, and said, come back when you've grown up a bit. But he didn't actually, but something like that. Anyway, I thought, well, that's not good enough. We'll have to ask someone else. So I prayed on it for a while. We had a word with God, told him I needed to do something, wanted to do something, and nothing happened. So a few months went by, and we had one of these meetings, where we had a few groups who came along to speak to us and tell us what they were all about. And one of them was Isla from the Durham Money Advice. And I thought, well, yeah, I'll go and have a word with Isla. And I didn't. I went and listened to someone else instead. So, and that came to nothing. So another couple of weeks go by, and I saw Isla in church, and I thought, I'll just go and have a word with Isla, see if she got anybody to help her. And as it happened, she hadn't, so I offered and she accepted. So I started at the Money Advice Centre and learning the systems and what we do and how we help people. And after a few weeks, Isla asked me, would I like to be a debt advisor? So I said, yeah, that's a good idea. We'll go and do that. So I did a course. And now I'm a trainee debt advisor. So that's how I came to be a debt advisor, because I needed something. I wanted to work for God. I wanted to do something for him. And I believe that he led me into it. You know, that's where I was meant to be, and that's where I am. So why do I want to do it? Well, if somebody had said to me a couple of years ago, I've got a job for you, you know, and you can ring people up and try and sort problems out for people and enter data into a computer, but you're not going to get paid, I'd have said, well, no, it's not for me, not really. No, but that was my human nature. But, as we all know, when we become a Christian, something else happens. We get the Holy Spirit. And through that, we get Christ's nature. And so, that's, I think, what drives me. It's not me. It's what God's doing through me. It's not that I think that I can have a better relationship with God or I can score brownie points, as Anne said many times. We have our salvation. We have been justified. We are righteousness. We're fine. We do this because Christ's in us, and we do it because we want to bear fruit. Now, will what I do bear fruit? I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever see it. I don't know if it'll be a direct result of what I do or whether it'll be because it's what I and Isla and other people in the organisation do. But I hope it will, and I believe it will. At the end of all that, as I said before, I believe that God provided the need I had. He gave me Christ's nature, and through his Holy Spirit, I'm enabled to do it. And when I finished writing up these few notes today, and I went back into the sitting room, and something prompted me to just to pick this little book up and just to look at today's little devotion that's in here. And there was just a few words at the end of it that struck me. And it said, "And yet faith without works is dead. So you need works too to feed your faith in me." And I just find God amazing. That what he does, you know. I'm asked to come and do this and you know, he just gives you the words that you need. That just, what's the right way of putting it? Can't think of the right word I need, but he just shows that what we're doing is right. You know? Anyway, I haven't told you what we do, because I thought that one might be a bit boring, but I hope that was all right. Okay.
Thank you. Excellent. Come along, Elizabeth.
Well, there can't be any short French, can there?
No, not at all.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Oh, sorry. Hello. Would help. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello, Alan. How are you? Right. I was asked by Isla, would I like to attend a conference along with the self, Andy and Eddie, which was being held in London to do with the debt advice program. When I was first asked, would I like to go, my first thoughts were, yes, I would like to go, but 8 hours of listening to speeches, gosh, how am I going to manage to cope with all that? I'll be bored. But anyway, I thought, yes, I'll go and see what it's all about. To my amazement, the time flew by. It felt like we had only been there for 1 hour. The speeches we listened to were so moving and so enthralling. We did have a small amount of worship, but the speeches were so touching. We wished we could have listened to more. And at that conference, we knew then and there, yes, this is where God wants us to be. This is what he is wanting us to do. And our questions have been answered, because we've both been asking God, what do you want us to do? And as I've just said, yes, he answered our prayers. You have to forgive me if I had to write all this down. And so, and the paths of our lives' experiences have led us to this place where we are now. So, in this program for the debt advice, money is needed so it can continue to do its good work, which led me to thinking while shopping, do we need that designer piece of clothing, of which we may have more if said items sitting in the wardrobe, or that 10th pair of shoes, of which one pair we can only wear at one time, that £10 bottle of wine bought, let us buy a £5 bottle of wine instead. And you know what? Oh, does that not suit Ian? And you know that extra £5 to the Debt Money Advice Centre. Do not let pride, vanity, or worrying about our own comforts stop us from doing these things. Let us spare a thought for the needy. When was the last time you had to search through your coat pockets hoping to find enough money to buy a loaf of bread or enough money to buy food to feed the family for a week? Sometimes circumstances beyond people's control can put them in this position. We have been through this experience ourselves. And all the time I knew God would take care of us, and he did, praise God. It turned out to be the best thing that happened to us, so we also would like to convey this to other people who find themselves in this situation. And through the Debt Advice Centre, we hope we can portray this, and through the faith in God. People in these situations tend to have suicidal tendencies, i.e., I would be better off dead, I can't pay these bills, and well, at least it would be one less body to feed and clothe. These people need our help. You know, when you are driving in the dark and the road lights are lit, showing us the way, well, we should be like those lights, standing up and showing, yes, it is okay to have a hole in your jeans. Is Jesus bothered about what we wear? He is calling us, his disciples, to show the way. Praise God. Amen.
Amen. This is incredible just to hear these stories. And, you know, many people here did respond to the bottle of wine bit. You know that. Now, Elizabeth, I'm going to save you the £5 bottle of wine. There's an 85 pence bottle of water. We'll have the £5 for the money advice. Yeah. No, this is fantastic. Right. Ben, can you come and share with us where things are at regarding the football team, please?
Hello. So, yeah, I'm going to talk about the football team. I decided to come in my colours. I was going to go full kit, but I thought you might not be able to concentrate because you'd be looking at my legs. Did decide to go with the glasses, because it's the law that if you stand behind a lectern, you have to wear glasses. Everyone so far. And it means you can do this when you get to an important point. Anyway, so we're a football team. So we started about 4 years ago, just having a kickabout over at Belmont School on a Sunday afternoon. About 15 of us. And that went on for, about a year or so, and then we started playing in a five-a-side league at the soccer arena just over there. And then we thought, we've got enough players here to actually make something a bit more official out of this. So myself and Ryan spent many evenings discussing, you know, who should play up front and who should play in the centre midfield, forgetting the fact that we needed at least 9 other people to make the team. Anyway, so the choice came, we're going to form a team. Do we put it in a secular league, or do we put it in the Christian league? And we decided that because at the core of evangelism is building meaningful relationships with people, we thought that actually if we enter into a Christian league, then before a ball's kicked, the colours of both teams are being kind of nailed to the mast, and we know that there's a Christian element to this match. And then you can just kind of concentrate on building those relationships outside of the match. And, you know, we train on a Thursday night and we play on a Saturday morning, so that's twice a week that we're meeting with around about 20 people if we get a full group of people out. And that's meant that over the last 2.5 years we've built some really strong relationships with some people who, you know, we didn't even know existed before we started this football team. So we're in our third season now in the league, and it's going pretty well. We're flying through the rounds in the National Christian Trophy. Quick announcement, we're supposed to be playing this Saturday, but they've run off scared and pulled out of the competition. So we're actually now in the quarterfinals of the National Cup. So 3rd of March, if you want to pop that in your diaries, we'll be playing either a team from Brighton or a team from Sunderland. So doesn't make much difference because we're going all the way. So anyway, so why are we doing this? So I love football and I love making friends, and this is a ridiculously easy way of doing both of those in a very enjoyable and energising atmosphere. And a lot of people love football in this country, and it's just a very easy way of... It's something we've instantly got in common with millions of people in this country. And in some cases, it's probably the only thing we've got in common. You know, there's some people on our team who are on another planet, so... Right. Anyway. Footballing-wise, Ryan is on another planet. If you ask him about it, he'll tell you how good he is. So there's been some ups and downs, and we've had some quite discouraging times, mainly when results have been going really badly, and then a lot of people have been discouraged and maybe started not turning up to matches and such like. But around about a year ago, I think it was, Adrian Holloway preached here, and a lot of you may remember it quite well. But I was quite discouraged about the fact that, you know, we've been doing this for a couple of years. We haven't seen anyone become Christian yet. And Adrian stood up here and talked about how you should see evangelism maybe more of a scale. So at the bottom, a 0 is someone who has never even heard of what a Christian is, and 10 is someone who is a Christian. So rather than us getting all caught up on how many people have become Christians, we should think about it. Have we helped anyone move up a stage? So definitely everyone who's played for us or been around our team now knows that there's such a thing as a Christian. So that's one step. All of these people have moved up one step. And we found that really encouraging, and it's really kind of from there, that's a springboard to just us being really, really encouraged and just working out how we can help people get up those rungs on the ladder. And Adrian also spoke about how, I think he spoke about this, I might have just made it up, but it's a good point, so whoever's point it is, that's fine. We can't make someone become a Christian. We can't force someone to become a Christian. That's a decision between them and God. It's a personal decision that they're going to come to. We can do our best to facilitate an environment where they will come to that decision by themselves. We can help them along the way. We can pray for them. But ultimately, it's them who need to make that decision. So we kind of don't need to be getting all caught up on results in a tangible sense of this person's become a Christian. Because it's not because of us. It's because of God. And remembering that, and remembering that we're kind of... Adrian gave another... it was a really good preacher. I remember most of it. I remember most of, obviously, everyone's, but... Yes. Yes. Well, Adrian gave an illustration of how kind of we can be laying the ball across for an open goal for Jesus to just slot into the empty net. It's Jesus who's going to actually reach out, and this decision's going to happen for them, and it is going to happen. We're very confident of that. Where we're at now, we run an alpha before Christmas, kind of in parallel to the alpha that was going on here. And we had one guy who came to every single session, which was great. We didn't have anyone else who came, which was disappointing to start with. But then we realized, actually, we can really focus on just getting to know this guy. He's called Steve, if you want to pray for him. And we were able to talk openly and honestly about Jesus, why we were Christians. And he was very open and honest as well. And he kind of believes, he believes everything. He just hasn't quite worked out what that means for him yet. But he's going to get there. And one example of the fact that we know that he believes in it, we asked him, you know, how does your wife feel about you coming all the way over here to come and have dinner with us and do the Alpha course? And he was like, well, you know, she doesn't believe, and she doesn't want to believe, and she, you know, she's quite against Christianity. But I'm praying for her. So we're like, wow, I mean, that's more than we've done. So yeah, pray for Steve, because he's probably praying for you. So in total, I think we've had 46 players who've played for us over the years. Add to that the people who've trained with us and haven't played. Most of those 46 players have got partners who will have come and watched, or if they haven't come and watched, they'll at least know that where they are, hopefully. And of all of those people, only about 15 of them are church members here. So, I mean, I could do lots of sums and work out probably hundreds and hundreds of people who have been affected by this. But it doesn't really matter. Like I said, we're not kind of in a results business. Obviously on the field we are, but not, you know, we can't get too caught up with those results. But we know that there's going to be millions and millions of people in heaven having a party when Steve or whoever else finally makes that commitment. So what you can do for us, one other point. Christchurch, another church in Durham, having seen what we've done, have also started a team in the same league. So hopefully they've got similar stories. So it's growing. It's going to take over Durham and the world, hopefully. So, I mean, they're a long way behind us football-wise, but, you know. Yeah, we've played them 6 times and they haven't scored yet. Anyway, sorry. Off topic. What you can do to help us, please pray for just the club as a whole, particularly Steve, who's, you know, I've talked a lot about Steve. You can come and watch us. We play Saturday mornings over at Broome Park. We'll particularly promote the National Cup games. Obviously, you know, next one's the 3rd of March in your diaries. Yeah, just pray and maybe ask us how we're getting on and follow us on Facebook or on the website. Yeah, that's that.
That's good. No, it is fantastic what's happening, isn't it? And people being stirred in this. Now, we have one last, but certainly not least, report here from... Are you doing it, Claire, with your able assistant? You're coming. Claire and Julianne, come and give them a very warm welcome now. Travelled all the way from Langley Park. Now, you've done something called Advent Toddlers. Yes? And you're going to explain all about that. Yeah. How long have you lived in Langley Park?
8 years. Yeah, or is it 9? I'm not sure. I've lived in Langley Park for a long time. If you don't know, it's about 5 miles west of Durham. You won't find it on any brown signs. It's not really much of a tourist attraction, but... there is Diggerland, which is nationally famous, obviously. So we've spent quite a long time there, just chipping away, getting to know people, just trying to make a difference where we can. Me and Julianne have talked quite a bit before about the possibility of doing the toddler group and trying to meet a need, really, to try and bring people together and sort of help some of the social problems. I think the children who enter nursery enter really quite a long way below the national average. There's a lot of young mums, there's a lot of quite isolated people, a lot of lonely people. There's not many ways for the community to come together in Langley Park, so anything that enables people to come together is a really good thing. And we've not really ever found the right time or the right idea. And before Christmas, Julianne had the great idea of doing an Advent toddler group, which we called Follow the Star Through Advent with Your Tot. And we did four sessions coming up to Christmas. And we just basically, we told the Christmas story, but we tried to sort of tell it. So it was the Christmas story in microcosm each week. But each week we put like a different slant on it and tried to give it sort of a wider relevance to life. So if we were talking about Mary and the angel, we'd talk about that God did impossible things for us because he loved us. Or if we were talking about the wise men and the star, we'd talk about how God guided us today. So we tried to sort of enable people to relate it to the rest of their life rather than just telling the Christmas story, which maybe they know or they don't know. So each week we did the story, which Julianne did brilliantly and had loads of really good ideas for, and I was so relieved I didn't have to talk to children that age, because anybody under the age of at least seven is just really out of my field of comfort. So that was good. And we did some craft and we did some songs and we had snacks. And we just did it for an hour. We hired the local Methodist church hall to do it in, which was a very damp, cold, drab building in Langley Park along the front.
It was one of the best spaces that we could have had, and it was still damp and murky.
Yeah, yeah, which tells you a lot about what the whole place is like, really. It was really brilliant. I think one of my favourite bits was actually having that church hall, because it had this really wrought iron gate along the front, and we put this tinsel around this lovely sort of arched gate, and it was like this sort of magic door that you come into this place full of life and fun and hope and joy. And you know, I just really feel that we're called to be a prophetic people that live the things of the not yet in the now. You know, we're called to bring the things of the kingdom of God to where it isn't yet. And Langley Park is quite a drab, dark, cold, closed place a lot of the time. I'm really selling it, I know. But for that doorway was a gate into something else. It was a gate into the future. It was a gate into the things of the kingdom of God. And, you know, they came in and there's the Christmas music playing and there's somebody there to welcome them and there's people there to talk to you. And you know, it was just really great. And I think the people who came, we had not loads of people. We didn't have the masses coming flocking to our gates, but we had between about 7 and 10 kids every week and assorted different grown-ups. All sort of friends of people we knew or friends of friends. And it was really interesting how that group came together, because they didn't all know each other, but they all knew somebody there. And I think the fact that this has happened now really was just God's right idea at the right time. It couldn't really have happened before. There's an awful lot of things that have happened before this to make this happen. An awful lot of prayer, an awful lot of just chipping away, getting to know people, just building up community links, you know, that really has enabled those people to come at that time to that place. People did respond. People didn't necessarily say, "What can I do to be saved?" But the fact that they were, some people who were there were really anti-Christian, who were really against going to anything church, and they came. So for them to even step through the door was a really big step forward. There were quite a lot of people came to the churches together, Christingle service in the village, because we advertised all the local Christmas services. We advertised Emmanuel things and all the local things. A lot of those people wouldn't come to anything as far away as this. There were quite a lot of people at that service, and some people who had never been before, who weren't really used to being in church. And that was really great to see them there. What else have I missed out? Oh, yeah. It was almost like doing what we did. Either God was just bringing things together at the right time, or what we did was a catalyst for something, because all of a sudden there seemed to be lots of other things to spring up in the village at the same time. Like, we've never heard of churches together in Langley Park before. I've lived there 8 years. I've never seen any hide nor hair of churches together in Langley Park. But all of a sudden they're doing a joint Christingle service, which was great. They advertised all their Christmas services on a separate leaflet, which I've never seen them do before. And somebody had the brilliant idea of doing a festival of trees, where they got all the different community groups in the village, like the old people's home or the school or the playgroup, or some of the shops and things. Everybody had to do a tree and put it in the Methodist church, and there was like a competition. You had to vote for which was your favourite tree, and they did carol singing. Yeah, X Factor for trees. Yeah, it was great. But you know, this meant that people who would never normally come together would come together into the Methodist hall and talk and decorate their tree and come together for carol singing. And it was almost like God was just really bringing community together, you know, which we can't take the credit for the Festival of Trees, but it happened at the same time. And it's just, it was really brilliant the way that just happened. yeah, so it was great. And yeah, I just feel that we've done it, and we did have positive chats with people, and people read things and people came to things. But I know that the story that we told is like yeast. It's gone out there. It's still working. It's still working through the batch. You know, like it says in Luke about the kingdom of God is like yeast that works through the dough. And I just really believe that about what we've done, that it's not lost from us. Our works that we do are not lost from us. They're still working after we've finished them. And God is still working in those people's lives. But yeah, so we carry on chipping away.
There's possibilities for Easter. So we might be doing a bit of a Lent Easter type toddlers. And see where we go with that. And then there's some other ideas hatching as well. So we'll see what happens next. Something to do with sand and summer, but we'll see.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Thank you.